All right, let's get it on. I'm Mike Boyle, and this is The Restaurant Show, a special edition of The Restaurant Show, a special hour. We're going to talk about something that is very near to me and to many. We're going to recognize St. Patrick's Day, but let's do a little background. There's a national calendar, and there are national months where we recognize women's history, Black history, Native American history. We have a month for pizza. We have a month for ice cream. We even have a National Guide Dog Month and a National Yoga Month. We have days. We have days in October, Columbus Day, when we recognize the contributions of those of Italian ancestry. All right, they're still proud Americans, but they can trace their roots back to Italy. We have Cinco de Mayo. Everybody has a good time on Cinco de Mayo. Margaritas, cervezas, everybody enjoying themselves. So I figured with months and days committed to different topics, I thought that I would dedicate this hour, 1 hour, to the Emerald Isle, to Ireland, and in recognition of St. Patrick's Day, I thought I would tell you a little bit about the history. I thought I would tell you a little bit about the sense of humor. I thought I would tell you about an absolutely sensational trip that I took to Ireland. First time I visited Ireland was as a U.S. GI. Flew out of Andrews Air Force Base in New Jersey on way to my assignment in Germany with the 3rd Infantry Division. And we stopped in Galway Bay. We stopped in Galway Bay for refueling. And when I came back from overseas, Frankfurt, Germany, Galway Bay, Andrews Air Force Base. You know what they say about Galway Bay? If you ever go across the sea to Ireland, then maybe at the closing of your day, you will go and see the moon rise over Clydaw or see the sun go down at Galway Bay. Yes, indeedy. So I thought we would talk a little bit about St. Patrick's Day, the history, the tradition of St. Patrick's Day. Did you know that during your Lenten restrictions on eating and drinking alcohol, did you know that the Irish and St. Patrick say it's okay to take that day off? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about the Blarney Stone and the gift of gab. And we're going to talk about how you kiss the Blarney Stone. I've kissed it. It's difficult. And we're going to talk about not only the Republic of Ireland, but Northern Ireland. I was in Northern Ireland, Belfast, staying at the Belfast Europa, at the time the most bombed hotel in the world during the Troubles. So we've got a fun hour planned for you today. I'm glad you're with me. I hope you stick around. And if you get a chance to listen to the old hour, whole hour, great. And if not, we will go ahead and repost this as a podcast on my overtime segment on my website at mikeboyle.com. All right, so let's take a break and come back and get started here on The Restaurant Show. All right, welcome back to our special St. Patrick's Day hour, our special recognition of Ireland. You know what they say, Éireann go bra. You know what that means? It means Ireland forever. All right, so I thought what we would do is use the song that is so most identified with the country. I thought that I would bring the king out of retirement, Elvis Presley, to do a nice rendition of Danny Boy, and then I'll give you a little history of that song. So, Jimmy, fire it up, if you will.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen, and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses dying. 'Tis you, 'tis you must go, and I must find. But come rebirth, when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow, and I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so. But if you come and all the roses dying, and I am dead, as dead I well may be, you'll come and find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me. And I shall feel how soft you tread above me, and then my grave will richer, sweeter be. For you will bend and tell me that you and I shall rest in peace until you come to me. Oh, Danny boy, I love you.
All right, I thought you would enjoy that. Who better to sing it? Boy, those powerful pipes, that melodic voice. Elvis Presley on our special hour, St. Patrick's Day edition, recognizing that beautiful, beautiful country across the sea. All right, so Danny boy, what's the history behind this traditional Irish song? Well, first of all, while you might feel that it is the traditional song or even the national anthem of Ireland, the lyrics were written in 1910 by an English lawyer, Frederick Weatherby. A few years after he put the pen to paper, Weatherby's Irish-born sister-in-law sent him the tune Londonderry Air. The lawyer, captured by the sweeping melody, tweaked his lyrics and set them to music. All right? So anyway, there are a few theories about the origins of Londonderry Air, but the most popular one states that in 1851, a woman named Jane Ross heard an unnamed fiddler playing it in Ireland. Rost asked if she could transcribe the music for her friend in Dublin, who was trying to preserve the ancient music of Ireland. The fiddler, whose name has sadly been lost in the annals, agreed. Danny Boy is well known throughout the world and has been recorded by Bing Crosby and many, many others. Its emotional strains have also lent the song poignantly to funerals and memorial services. A retired Irish American police officer, Charlie McKenna from Rhode Island, once said, "I want Danny Boy sung at my funeral mass. And if it isn't, I'm going to get up and walk out." All right, so that's Danny Boy, folks. Of course, it was played at John McCain's funeral. The opera star Renee Fleming sang it. So anyway, I thought that that would help set the tone. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I think that we're going to show you not only a little bit of that beautiful Irish countryside, but maybe a little bit of their humor. We'll be right back. All right, moving on with our special St. Patrick's Day edition. An hour. Yes, an hour dedicated not only to the day, but to the country. So I thought I would tell you a little bit about St. Patrick, because we all know that we're supposed to go out and eat corned beef and cabbage. And we all know that we're supposed to go out and drink a nice Guinness, maybe a shot of Jameson, maybe wash it down with a little Bailey's Irish Cream, the three primary drinks in Ireland. St. Patrick's Day, or the Feast of St. Patrick's, is a religious and cultural holiday held on March 17th, the traditional death date of St. Patrick. He was born 385, died 461, the foremost patron saint of Ireland. But did you know that he was actually English? Yes. What's known about St. Patrick was allegedly written by St. Patrick himself. He was believed to have been born in Roman Britain in the 4th century into a wealthy Romano-British family. His father was a deacon and his grandfather was a priest in the Christian church. According to the declaration, at the age of 16, he was kidnapped by Irish raiders and taken as a slave to Gaelic Ireland. Yeah, a lot of different forms of slavery back there since the beginning of time and will probably be around to the end of time. It says he spent 6 years there working as a shepherd, and during that time, he found God. The declaration by St. Patrick says God told Patrick to flee to the coast where a ship would be waiting to take him home. After making his way home, he went on to become a priest. According to tradition, he returned to Ireland to convert the pagan Irish to Christianity. There's been documentation that Ireland has been settled for over 6,000 years. He spent many years evangelizing in the northern half of Ireland and converted thousands. His efforts were eventually turned into the allegory in which he drove snakes. There are no snakes in Ireland. There have not been snakes in Ireland. But it became a euphemism for driving out the heathen practices, driving them out of Ireland, despite the fact that actual snakes were not known. We use that term today. He's a snake in the grass, right? But that's where the legend comes, that he drove snakes out of Ireland. The tradition holds that he died on March 17th and was buried at Downpatrick. Over the following many centuries, many legends grew up around Patrick, and he became Ireland's foremost saint. There's many holiday traditions, many celebrations. They've been influenced by those of Irish ancestry as they scattered not only throughout the country, but throughout the globe, and especially in North America. Until the late 20th century, St. Patrick's Day was actually a bigger celebration among those transplanted of Irish ancestry than it actually was in Ireland. But I will tell you this, The Irish do not miss a chance to have a party. I have been there. Matter of fact, Jim Nichols, doing a wonderful job producing this segment for me. Jimmy, do you know why it's reported that God invented liquor?
No, I don't.
So that the Irish wouldn't rule the world. All right. Oh, so you like that one? All right. So let me give you a couple of others. Young man, the judge said to Patty, looking sternly at the defendant, it's alcohol and alcohol alone that's responsible for your present sorry state. Well, I'm glad to hear that, said Patty Murphy with a sigh of relief. Everyone else says it's all my fault. Okay, oh, you like that one. Okay, well, let's do a couple of more. Patty went to the doc's office today and he said, do you treat alcoholics? The doctor replied, of course I do. Patty said, well, then you're buying. Get your coat on. We're going. Get it? Do you treat alcoholics? The barman said to Patty, your glass is empty. Fancy another one? Looking puzzled, Patty said, now, why would I want two empty glasses? All right, you like one more. Okay, one more. Patty says to Mary, if you were stranded on a desert island, who would you like most to be with you? My Uncle Mick, replies Patty. What's so special about him, asks Mary. He's got a boat. I guess if you had a boat on it, I guess you wouldn't be stranded, would you? All right, so you like that one? All right, so since it is St. Patrick's Day, little Johnny, an altar boy in the Catholic Church, Ireland is made up of about 75% Catholics. There's about 3% Anglicans, the Church of England. So, little Johnny the altar boy goes to the confession booth. The priest comes in and he says, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. I'm just a young teenage boy, a fairly randy teenage boy, but I've been having sex with the young ladies in the village. And the priest says, oh my God, I've heard rumors. It's not Maggie Flanagan, is it? And Johnny says, no, Father, but I have been with multiple partners. And he says, oh my goodness, well, it's not Charlene Shaughnessy, is it? And he said, no, Father, it's not. He said, oh my goodness, this is worse than I thought. He said, anything else you'd like to confess, Johnny? And Johnny says, yes, there's another. And the priest says, oh my goodness, it's not Margaret Murphy, is it? And he says, no, Father, it's not Margaret Murphy. What should I do? And the father says, well, you know what? I can't have you as an altar boy. I want you to go home, say three Hail Marys, and we are going to suspend your altar boy duties for 4 months. Now go. So little Johnny walks out, and out in front of the church is his buddy Seamus waiting for him. And Seamus said, how did it go? And he said, not bad. What did you get? And he said, I got 4 months vacation and three leads. All right. So anyway, that's a little bit of Irish humor. And you know what? One of the things that I love about Irish humor is that they can still laugh at themselves. All right. Christians may also attend church services on St. Patrick's Day. And the Lenten restrictions on eating and drinking alcohol are lifted for the day. Perhaps because of this, drinking alcohol, particularly Irish whiskey, beer, or cider, has become an integral part of these celebrations. Another St. Patrick's Day custom, have you ever done this? Have you drowned the shamrock or wetting the shamrock? At the end of the celebrations, especially in Ireland, a shamrock, you know what a shamrock represents? God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, is put into the bottom of a cup, which is then filled with whiskey, beer, or cider. It is then drunk as a toast to St. Patrick, Ireland, or those present. The shamrock would either be swallowed with a drink or taken out and tossed over the shoulder for good luck. All right. So anyway, there's a little bit about St. Patrick's. Let's tell you a little bit about the country. You know, in 1981, some of you old timers may remember the old Western Airlines, and they announced that they were starting nonstop service from then Stapleton Airport to Gatwick Airport, not Heathrow, in London. It was an overnight flight, so I talked to Buddy, who hadn't been out of the country, into going with me. We went to the airport, we flew all night, we landed at Gatwick. And in London, yeah, we saw Big Ben, Buckingham Palace, the changing of the guard. But then we got on a train, and we went up to Liverpool, where you catch the ferry to go over to Dublin. And you know a little bit about Liverpool. Yeah, you go down to the Cave. It's closed now, a nightclub. But there's a plaque that says, Four Lads Who Shook the World. That's where the Beatles started. Then you get on the overnight ferry. And you can sit up top in the cold, or you can get a room. So you go to the bar, you have a couple of drinks, you go to your room, you get a night's sleep. And when you wake up, you're in Dublin. And you spend a couple nights in Dublin, and you say, let's see this beautiful country. So you rent a car. You drive on the other side of the road, the steering wheel's on the other side. You know that drill. But you leave Dublin. You've seen Trinity University. You've explored the town of Dublin. Ireland is a country that is about the size of Indiana, just to give you a frame of reference, with a population of less than Colorado. So on a beautiful Sunday, I loaded my buddy in the car, and we took off, and we drove to the south. And we headed down to Waterford and Cashel and the Dingle Peninsula. And let's do this. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about that road trip through Ireland as we share the Emerald Isle with Hugh on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. All right, let's keep it going here on our special Irish edition of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. All right, so you like those jokes. Did you hear about Tiger Woods? He was on a golf tour in Ireland. He drives his BMW into a petrol station in a remote part of the Irish countryside. Beautiful car. The pump attendant knows nothing about golf and greets him in the typical Irish manner, utterly unaware of who this golfing legend is. Top of the morning to you, sir, says the attendant. Tiger nods a quick hello and bends to pick up the nozzle. As he does to put gas into this beautiful car, the attendant is there admiring. Two T's fall from his shirt pocket onto the ground. What are those? Said the attendant. They're called T's, Tiger replies. Well, what in God's earth are they for? Inquires the Irishman. They're for resting my balls on when I'm driving, says Tiger Woods. Oh my God, says the attendant. BMW thinks of everything. All right, that might have been a little closer to the edge for some of you, but I thought it was cute. Okay, one more. A man was walking down the street in Dublin, where, by the way, Jim Nichols, producing this segment, can trace his family roots back to, when he sees a sign in the window of a travel agency that says, Cruises on the Liffey River, $100. He goes into the agency and hands the guy $100. The travel agent then whacks him over the head and throws him in the river. Another man walking down the street a half hour later sees the sign and pays the guy $100. The travel agent whacks him over the head and throws him into the river. Sometime later, the two men are floating down the river together. And the first man asked, Do you think they serve any food on this cruise? The second man says, I don't think so. They didn't do it last year. get it? He was thrown in twice. I figured you got that. All right, so let me tell you why I thought it would be fun to see Ireland, not only because it's a beautiful country, but I can tell you that my great-grandfather, who I certainly never knew, came to America from Ireland, settled on the East Coast. My grandfather, who I also never knew, was born in Enfield, Connecticut. My dad was born in Springfield, Massachusetts, and he did one of the ancestry trackings and traced our roots back to Ireland. So I thought, as we drive south, we can go to Waterford, which is the home of Waterford Crystal. I'm sure some of you people listening have Waterford Crystal in your home. We can swing by Cashel, C-A-S-H-E-L-L. It was Sunday. This buddy of mine and I, we're both about 6'1", 190, 195, a little bit bigger than the average Irish. The town was locked up tight as a tick. And suddenly, it's Sunday, we saw a few people going into this building, this old stone building. And we thought, well, you know what? Let's go in. Maybe they have some food in there. We walked in, and of course, it immediately went silent. Two Yanks have walked in. Everybody was sitting around in their best church clothes, just having a cup of coffee. And I said, well, we're driving around Ireland. Can we get a couple beers? Can we get a couple pints? And they said, of course. And I said, can we get something to eat? We're hungry. And the lady said, well, you know what? We don't serve any food on Sunday. And I said, oh, man, we're really hungry. And she said, well, you know what? You're visiting, you're tourists. We want to make a good impression. We'll see what we can find. She comes back and says, we have some bread and some cheese and some lunch meats. Would you like a sandwich? I said, sure. How big are they? And she holds her fingers together in a square about 3 inches square. Well, to us Americans, that's not a sandwich. That's something you nibble on. And I said, well, that would be great, ma'am. How many can we get? And she said, well, how many do you want? And I said, well, give us 10. And the room immediately just erupted that these 10 sandwiches were going to take care of these two Yanks. And then we continued on. And we went down to County Cork. And you know what's in County Cork? The Blarney Castle. Yep. The Blarney Castle, the Blarney Stone, is built into the battlements of Blarney Castle. It's about 5 miles from Cork. According to legend, kissing the stone endows the kisser with the gift of gab, or great eloquence, or skill at flattery. Maybe you know why I do a restaurant show. Maybe you know why I do a talk show. I've kissed the Blarney Stone. The stone was set into the tower in 1446. The castle is a popular tourist site in Ireland, attracting visitors from all over the world to kiss the stone and tour the castle and its gardens. Well, I had no idea. I thought maybe you pulled up and you parked somewhere and you walked up this path and there would be a big rock, a big stone, and you just bent over and kissed it. I didn't realize that you have to go up to the top of the Blarney Castle. And the Blarney Stone is not at the top. It's off on the side. And the way you kiss it is by having some friend of yours hold your ankles while you bend over backwards, the equivalent of 4 stories over the stone courtyard, and kiss this stone. This was 1981. I did it. There's stories of how if you didn't like somebody, you'd grease their boots before they asked you to hold them. But now, probably as a concession, there are railings and there are things you can hold on to rather than just having somebody that you trust hold your ankles. All right? There's the story of Cormac McCarthy, builder of the Blarney Castle. He was involved in a lawsuit in the 15th century. He appealed to a lady, the goddess, for assistance. She told McCarthy to kiss the first stone he found in the morning on his way to court, and he did so. With the result, he pleaded his case with great eloquence and won. Thus, the Blarney Stone is said to impart, quote unquote, the ability to deceive without offending. McCarthy then incorporated that stone into the parapet of the castle. All right? So, thought that I would share that with you, give you a little bit of help there. And then we continued on. And you drive the Dingle Peninsula, featured in Ryan's Daughter, the movie. You know the Dingle Peninsula, the Ring of Kerry in County Kerry. every picture you see of the Irish countryside is what? Beautiful green cliffs down to the ocean, waves lapping on the rocks below. And on a two-lane asphalt road, not really two lanes, but probably just one lane, what do you see? You see a shepherd in a camel hair coat herding his sheep. That's the Dingle Peninsula. That's the Ring of Kerry. You come to Galway. You go up to Galway Bay. Maybe watch a sunrise. Absolutely beautiful, or even better, a sunset. And then you go up to Roscommon, County Roscommon, and maybe you go to the town of Boyle, population about 2,600. And you and your buddy walk into a pub. There's nobody in the pub. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And the bartender, who's probably either the owner or has been there since it began, says hello. I tell him my name, order a couple beers. I said, yeah, I thought it'd be come to Boyle, take a picture because my name is Boyle. And he said, yeah. And about the third time I said it to him, he said, you know what? Let me tell you something, pal. Half the people in town are named Boyle. Kind of put me in my place. And then we were going to go up to Donegal. By the way, you know who's from Boyle, Ireland? Maureen O'Sullivan. Who's Maureen O'Sullivan? Jane. In Tarzan. Yeah, the old Tarzan movies. And we were going to go up to Donegal, which is actually where the family was traced from. But the border was closed with Northern Ireland. 1981, they were having the troubles. And the IRA had blown up an army Saracen with 8 British soldiers in it, killed them all, and they sealed the border. So we turned around and we went back to Dublin and got on the train and went to Belfast. My friend was a little bit nervous about that. I said, I wouldn't worry about it. I think it's a creation of the news. We get off the train, battlements everywhere. Guards, soldiers, troops, locked and loaded. We go to check into the Europa Hotel, the Hotel Europa. The history. Europa Hotel was constructed by Grand Metropolitan and designed by a couple of architects. It opened in July 1971. It was built on the site of the former Great Northern Railroad station and stands 51 meters high. During the Troubles, the hotel where most journalists and me and my friend covering the Troubles, it was known as Europe's most bombed hotel in the world. It suffered 36 bomb attacks. There was a large fence around it, concertina wire, guards everywhere. But that was the Europa Hotel where we stayed. And then I said, well, I'm going to go out and look around. Because do you remember the hunger strikers back in 1981? Well, they had been imprisoned for attacking the British. They were in May's prison. And the first one, Bobby Sands, said, you know what? I'm going to go on a hunger strike. And after 50-something days, he died a horrible death. And then other members of the IRA said that they would do it, and they started. And there was a second. And while I was there, this friend of mine said, I'm leaving. I'm going to Scotland. I'll see you there. I said, I'm going to stick around because another one or two of those guys is going to die, and I want to see what goes on. And you know what? There was a headline in the paper, a tabloid paper, full page. And there was a quote from the Iron Maiden. You know who that is, British Prime Minister Maggie Thatcher. And her quote in big, bold, yellow journalism headlines was, I don't care if they drop like flies. Yep, that's what was going on in Belfast and Northern Ireland in 1981. So let's do this. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up our trip to Ireland on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. All right, as we wrap up this special hour, this special Irish hour, this special St. Patrick's hour of the Restaurant Show, happy to have you aboard. I'm going to finish the story about being in Belfast during the Troubles and going up to an area where the activity was. Pandemonium. You ride up there in a cab with about 6 people, and nobody says a word because they don't know who's a Catholic and who's a prod. They don't know who's on which side. But the troubles have been resolved now. And so all I'm going to tell you is that if you want a wonderful, wonderful vacation, think about Ireland. I think that you might enjoy it. So there was the Irishman that was struggling to find a parking place. Lord, he prayed, I can't stand this. If you open up a space for me, help me find a parking place, I swear I'll give up Guinness and go to Mass every Sunday. Suddenly the clouds part, the sun shines on an empty parking spot. Without hesitation, the Irishman says, never mind, God, I found one. He still wants to have his Guinness, and he doesn't want to go to Mass every week. All right, let's talk about, like I said, there's a little bit of focus there on alcohol. Okay, so Murphy goes into the confessional box after years of being away from the church. He pulls aside the curtain, enters, and sits himself down. There's a fully equipped bar with crystal glasses, the best wine, Guinness on tap, cigars, liqueur, chocolates nearby. And on the wall is a fine photographic display of various women who appeared to have misplaced their garments. He hears a priest come in. Father, forgive me. I think it's been a while since I've been to a confession. And to be sure, I must say, the confessional box is much better than it used to be. The priest says, get out, you idiot. You're on my side. Okay. All right. So anyway, I watched what transpired in the Troubles. I was taking pictures. I have a wonderful picture of a British soldier firing on a sniper. But it was really hectic, and it was really part of the idea. The Republic couldn't afford Northern Ireland. Britain didn't want the expense of Northern Ireland. And fortunately, it's been resolved. But I will tell you this. If you go to Ireland, you will find some of the most nice, gracious, welcoming people with a sense of humor, people who are pretty much unaffected. They're not all wound up like we seem to be here in the United States. And so maybe on St. Patrick's Day, it's appropriate that we get out and we go to some of the wonderful restaurants serving corned beef and cabbage, boiled potatoes, maybe have a Guinness, maybe have a shot of Jameson's Irish whiskey, maybe wash it down with a Bailey's Irish cream. But there's plenty of pubs all up and down the Front Range. Colorado Springs, Jack Quinn's, Abbey's Irish Pub, Denver Metro, Clancy's in Wheat Ridge, Nallon's, been around since 1992, the Celtic at 14th and Market, and then, of course, you've got other places like the View House and the Black Eyed Pea that always put out great, great corned beef and cabbage, as well as some other drinks as well. So what we've done is try to give you a little bit of history here of the country. And, you know, I thought I would wrap this up with one more joke. Sean had long heard the story of a family tradition. It seems that his father, his grandfather, and great-grandfather had all been able to walk on water on their 48th birthday. On that particular day, they would walk across the lake to the local pub, Murphy's Bar, for their first legal drink. You can drink at 18 in Ireland, by the way. So when Sean's 18th birthday arrived, he and his friend Mick took a boat, rowed out to the middle of the lake. Sean stepped out of the lake, stepped out of the boat onto the lake. He immediately sank and nearly drowned. He was only saved by Mick, who managed to pull him back into the boat. Furious and confused, he went to see his grandmother and said, Gran, "'tis my 18th birthday, so why can't I walk across water like my father, me grandfather, and his father before him?" Grandma looked deep into Sean's troubled eyes, looked at him with kind, benevolent eyes that only a grandmother can display, and said, "Well, Sean, because they were all born in January, and the lake was frozen. You were born in August, you nitwit." All right, so anyway, listen, I hope you've enjoyed that. And it will not only be airing today, but it will be available on my podcast extras, where I have overtime, an hour plus interview with Pete Coors on the 150 years of Coors, an hour with Bill Carl on his history of the Carl family and Pikes Peak and Lookout Mountain and Rocky Mountain National Park concessions. And we will be posting this as well. So if you missed any part of this, you can just go there. It'll be posted here within a day or two, and you can enjoy learning a little bit about the Emerald Isle. As they say, Éireann go breá, Ireland forever. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Mike Boyle, and this is a special hour of The Restaurant Show.